I want to share with you a message this morning that is a prophetic word. This prophetic word will change the atmosphere of your home and will change the character of your life because you are the temple of the living God. It's interesting what's going on in our world today, and every one of us are aware of it. And I try not to talk about that side, the negative side, because I want to focus on the things that God is doing in the world today. We may be limited in our gathering, but I want you to know something. The power of God and the anointing of the Holy Spirit is not limited. He is touching you. He is ministering in your home. And I know the Spirit of the Lord is touching you there right now, right now. This season that we're in, I've got good news for you. This season will come to an end. This season is a disruption. But at the same time, I believe that God is in this season. That the Spirit of the Lord will take what the enemy meant for evil and he will change it for good. Because Romans 8:28 declares that we know that all things work together for the good of those that love him, those who are called according to his purpose. So I want you to know we've got to find what God is doing in this season. And this message today on this Palm Sunday, in its prophetic presentation by the Spirit of the Lord, will bring us to a greater understanding in this time of what the Lord wants us to be doing as believers. I prepared this message, actually, clear back in February. When we started this series of praying forward, praying into our tomorrow. And what many of you don't realize is that your prayers during our 21 days of prayer and fasting in January, you were praying into this season right now without even realizing what you were doing. And God was building your faith and strengthening you for this time so that your faith would not fail. Oh, you got to catch this in your spirit. I'm about to jump up and down a little bit here and wave something. All right? Because the power of God is in this house and in a prophetic way. During the 21 days of prayer and fasting, when God spoke to me and he said, call the people to prayer. He said, call them. Call them to seek the face of the Lord. And we've been talking about that. And every one of us, those of you that have been praying, and no matter what degree of praying that has been, whether it's been short prayer or long prayer or seasons of intercession, in your praying, you were praying into this moment for God's supply. You were praying into this season for God's provision. You were praying into this season for his protection, for his strength. You were praying into this season for the blood of Jesus to cover your life, your family, your home, your house, everybody. You were praying into this season. As a matter of fact, we were praying into this season for revival. Revival. And I've got good news for you. Listen to this, folks. That around the globe, because the entire globe is involved in this shutdown, this shelter-in thing. All around this globe, the Spirit of God is showing himself. Jesus is manifesting himself. The glory of the Lord is being seen and experienced. And people are coming to the Lord in their homes, on their knees, on their faces. In every country of the world, there is a mass revival going on right now. Right now. Somebody needs to give the Lord praise for that. Because God is moving in a mighty, mighty way. Hallelujah. But we've been praying into this moment. So I want you to go with me to Matthew chapter 21. And I want to talk to you today, teach you some powerful things, and give you some prophetic revelation in relationship to the house of praying. The house of praying. Let's look at Matthew 21. I'm going to read a few verses, and then I'm going to come back to the verses, and we're going to exegete the scripture and see what the Lord has to say to us. Now, when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord has need of them.'" Can I just pause here and say something very important? The Lord has need of you in this season to be a house of praying. He has need of you. And immediately he will send them. Verse 4, "And all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was prophesied, spoken by the prophet, saying, 'Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey.' So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt and laid their clothes on them and set Jesus on them. And a very great multitude spread their garments on the road, on the ground, all right? And others cut down branches from the trees, and they spread them on the road in front of Jesus. And the Bible says the multitudes who went out before him and those who followed him cried out to him, saying," now listen, "saying, 'Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.'" We just sang about that this morning. Hosanna to God in the highest. "And when he had come to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, 'Who is this?' I've got some good news for you in our world today. Now listen close. There are people who are saying, 'Who is this?' There are people who are saying, 'I don't know God. Who is this? God isn't the one causing all this turmoil in the earth.' That is a demonic attack from the very pits of hell to attack the health of people, to attack the economy of the globe. It is a demonic attack from the powers of darkness. And there are people who are saying in the middle of this, 'Who can help me? Who is there to help me? Who can I turn to? Who am I going to run to? I need some help.'" Verse 11 says, "So the multitude said, 'This Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee.' Then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, 'It is written, My house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves.'" Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your word this morning. As we look prophetically into what you're saying to us, I give you praise and glory and honor in your mighty name. Now, I want you to see some powerful things in relationship to this scripture. Jesus is making a triumphal entry into Jerusalem, and the response of his entry is worship. And they said, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Our response to the moving and the coming of the Spirit of the Lord should always be worship. Our response to him during this season we're walking through should be worship. Honor, glory, and praise to Almighty God. He's the only one that's going to deliver us out of this situation. He's the only one that can stop coronavirus, COVID-19. He's the one that can wipe it out. He's the one. It's not up to a vaccine. It's up to believers who pray and believe God that Jesus is on the scene. Then now watch. The first thing that Jesus does when he comes into Jerusalem is that he goes to the temple. Now, the temple is his house. The temple is where, in Jerusalem, is where he stood at age 12, and he opened up the scriptures of Isaiah, and he read, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to set to open the prison doors of those that are bound, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Jesus wasn't unfamiliar with the temple, but something was about to happen. A transition was about to be made. A shift was going to take place in the atmosphere where the realm of God would begin to invade the temple. So he comes to his temple, and he comes there to worship. Now, understand this with me, that every born-again believer, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are the temple of the living God. So Jesus comes to the temple in Jerusalem, and he establishes a house of praying. He does that by the removal of everything else in the temple that had become a distraction. It had become marketing. It had become entertainment. It had become things that were distracting people from what they were really there for, and that was to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And Jesus turned over the tables of the money changers. Now notice something with me. I've heard a lot of people say that he was mad, he was angry. No, I want you to understand that he was so filled with love and compassion for the people that out of an authority, he began to break the powers that were hindering and distracting, so that once again his house could be called a house of prayer. What God is doing by his Spirit in this season is that he is removing every distraction from our lives so that he can make us, his temple, a house of praying. He's removing and tearing down the things that have been our entertainment and the things that have been our top priority and the things that have been our idols, so that once again we can worship in the house of the Lord, the temple of the living God, in spirit and in truth, with the purity of the anointing of God in our lives. Now that's a great place to pause and to have a shout down. Hallelujah. Praise God. What happened next is really interesting, because in verse 14, the Bible says that once he established the house as a house of prayer, then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. Now, watch this. This is very powerful. He came to his house to establish praying as the primary activity of that house. Not just to a religious center. The temple was the center of a lot of activity, but he didn't come to establish a religious center. He came to establish a house of praying. In other words, now listen to this. This is very powerful. There was a supernatural shift. Now, I proclaim to you and I declare to you prophetically that in the church today, in the temples of God, in you and I, every one of us, as the temple of the living God, there is a supernatural shift going on in our hearts. I've sensed it. You've sensed it. I have felt it in the natural. I've sensed it in the supernatural, the Spirit of God. A shifting, a changing in my own life. A changing from the less to the more. A changing from the bad to the good. From the flesh to the spirit. A supernatural shift. Now listen to this prophetically. Because in this season, even though the enemy has brought evil, we as a church are entering into a new apostolic ethic. Now let me explain that. An apostolic ethic, or a sovereign direction and move of God, an act of God's Spirit, a supernatural transition. Apostolic ethic. In other words, God is moving upon believers and their disciplines are changing. Their times with God are increasing. Their hunger for the Spirit of the Lord is becoming overwhelming in their lives. The thirsting for God is greater than it's ever been because we are in this apostolic shift or ethic that's taking place by God's Spirit. In other words, a turning point where things that were unclear are becoming clear. Things that were bound are now coming into recovery. Turning points of things in our lives that we have prayed for a long time, but now are shifting into a place of divine faith where the Spirit of God is pouring out His anointing. It is a seismic, mountain-moving shift. We just had an experience in part of Montana, the earthquake that happened down in Idaho. Shifting things around and moving and the ground shaking, a seismic shift. And there is a shift in the way that we understand church is all about. The way we're doing church has totally changed. We're not doing church the way that we used to do church. You've heard it. It's all over the internet. We are the church. And so as every born-again believer, we are the church, but there's a shift. There's a moving. Listen to me very closely. There's a moving. The church as a Christian theater of entertaining the feelings and emotions of people is shifting into the church that has the power of the living God and is releasing the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Now that ought to get somebody excited. I'm looking at your faces, your photographs on these pews, and I'm hearing you. I hear you preaching the Word of God with me. God is shifting us from entertainment into the presence, into the house of the Lord, where He is reestablishing the worship of God and the seeking of His face and the crying out unto Him. A shift. It's happening all over the world. Now listen to me. Write these things down. These are prophetic. I've got a number of things I want you to see, so write them down. Number one, He is shifting church. So it's not church as usual. It is church as being the house of praying. In other words, the church doing the business of God. Jesus told his mom and dad, Joseph and Mary, when they lost Him in the temple at age 12, and then they found Him, He said, "Don't you understand that I've got to be about the Father's business?" We don't have time. I'm telling you, time is short. The rapture could take place. Things are ready. The Lord, the trumpet of the Lord could sound. But I want you to understand something. He is shifting us to a house, to a temple of praying. Every individual person, He's shifting us into a temple of praying. There is such a strong anointing in this sanctuary right now. I trust that you're sensing it at home. But listen to this. That house of praying is a place where God demonstrates His glory. That house of praying that you are becoming as a believer is shifting the demonstration of His glory in your life. He's changing us from just saying a prayer, which is past tense, from saying a prayer into praying, which is present tense. It's the verb part, because prayer, we can say prayers. I'm sure there's a lot of people right now who've been saying prayers. But when you are praying, you are engaging the glory of heaven. You are engaging the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. God is shifting His church from being focused on self to focused on the things of God and the things of the Spirit. The prayer room is becoming the priority. The prayer room. My office is my prayer room here at the church. My office at my home is my prayer room. God is shifting people to praying. He's shifting His church from knowing to doing, from lethargy to action. He's shifting His church. The second thing I want you to see, and this is prophetic, number two, is that He is making His house, His temple, the house of the Lord here, and your temple, He is shifting to make them a house of reformation. Reformation. Say it back at me. Say reformation. A house of reformation. In other words, where the work of God involves or moves in relationship to praying. That the work of God, see now, God's always at work. He's always moving. He's pouring out His Spirit. He's always working. He's ministering to your family. He's touching and convicting your loved ones that you've been praying for, that you prayed into this season for. He's moving upon their lives. Some of them are operating in fear. Their hearts, the Bible says, in this season, hearts will fail men because of fear of what's coming on the earth. But the Lord is our deliverer. Now watch this. The work of the Holy Spirit is to bring about reformation. Reformation happens through repentance and through forgiveness. The house of praying involves an apostolic reformation. In other words, God releasing sovereignly out of heaven the power of the Holy Spirit, and He's reforming things. Life will not be the same as it was before. We're in a situation. See, life is not going to be the same way it was before. All of this lockdown and stay-at-home orders happened. Life isn't going to go back and be like that or be like it is now. There is an apostolic shift that God is shifting us into a reformation. He's going to reform everything in our lives. He's going to reform your priorities. He's going to reform your disciplines and the time that you spend with God. He is reforming that by the power of the Holy Spirit. In reformation. The reason is to turn all of mankind back to God. This is a reforming time. I'm being reformed in my own life. Let me tell you what reform is all about. All right? Reformation is defined this way. Write it down. It means to reestablish. Or in other words, to stable, to settle, to order, to appoint, to set up. See, in the middle of what God's doing, what's going on in the earth, God is setting you up for the greatest miracles of your life, and He is setting you up to trust Him with a stronger faith than you ever have before. Hallelujah. He's reestablishing. It also means to revert or to reverse or to turn around. In a new direction, in an opposite way. See, the world meant things for evil. The devil meant things for evil. But in this shifting of the Spirit of God, God is reversing. He's turning around. People that have wandered away from God, He's turning them around and He's drawing them back. Children of yours that you have been praying for that have been away from God are turning around. They're coming back to Jesus. Well, I tell you, I wish there was some shouting in this house. I'm sure they're shouting in your house. A reversion. Reformation also means a reactivation, or to make active again, or to create and make capable. Where the devil is trying to kill, steal, and destroy, the Spirit of God is turning it around. He's making it capable. He's making it active. What's coming active inside of you is the Spirit of God. I know there are people that want to get out of their house. They want to get out and be active. And today the temperature is going to be almost 70 degrees. It's going to be a beautiful day out there today to be active in the natural. But I'm telling you something. There is an activity in the Spirit of God, in the supernatural, that God is reversing and He's reactivating. It's called revival in the land.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Reformation is a reviving of things spiritually that were lost or that were forsaken. A reviving. This is the season of reviving. We've preached about this for years, about this kind of season happening. God will not forsake you if you'll trust Him, if you'll walk with Him. Psalm 85 verse 6 says this. Will you not revive us again, O God, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your mercy, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. Habakkuk 3:2 says, O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. This is the season God is making Himself known. Hallelujah. Get ready, because it's the season of the miraculous. Every move of God requires praying. Praying is everything turning to recovery, to regain, to reposition, to get back health and condition. It is spiritual reformation to reform. Let me just give you this last, and we're going to move on to the next thing in Reformation. To reform means to make better by removing faults and stopping abuses and behaving better and changing our conduct and bringing improvement in our character and orderly arrangement spiritually into our lives. Reform has to do with the qualities and character that shape our nature. God is the God of reformation. And I prophetically declare to you that in making the house, restoring the house of praying, He is bringing about reformation. Now listen closely. The third thing is, in the house of praying, that this supernatural shift is doing is that the house of praying is producing transformation. Transformation. In other words, a change from, it means to change the form, change the condition, the character, and the function. In Romans 12:2, the Bible says, do not be conformed, but be transformed. See, that word con is interesting. When we are conned by the world, we form ourselves like the world. When we are conned by a lie, by the devil, and says, you aren't this, but you are this. And when the devil cons somebody, even in their sexuality, to make them believe they're a homosexual or a transgender, he's conned them. But there is, listen, this is by the power of the Spirit. To con means to begin against you. It means to be in opposition of. But to trans, watch this. Trans has nothing to do with anybody in the natural and in a sexual orientation. The word trans is this. It means to change completely or thoroughly. It's to cross over to the other side spiritually. is to come out of darkness, to be transformed into the image of the living God. I prophetically declare to you that as God is making houses of praying, temples, every individual a house of praying, that He's bringing about a transformation. Everything's becoming absolutely new. You're not the same as you used to be. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'll tell you, the Spirit of the Lord is in this place. Number four, write this down. The fourth prophetic thing in this apostolic shift is that God is making a house of praying that produces restoration. Restoration. Restoration is to be in statement or reinstatement. So in other words, God said, where you once were in me and fell away, I am reinstating you back to the position and place of authority in Christ Jesus at the right hand of the Father that you had before the enemy conned you into forsaking Him. Now watch. To reinstate is to put in status and rank and possession, position, or to put back in the former state. In other words, it's authority spiritually. In Joel chapter 2, 25, the Bible says, I will restore to you the years that the swarming locusts and the condemning, chewing locusts and consuming locusts have eaten. He said, I'll restore it. In other words, I'm putting you back in position. I'm putting you back in place where the enemy robbed and stole from you in this season of isolation, in this season of sheltering in this season. He said, I'm establishing you and I'm restoring to you some things you may have forgotten. I'm bringing back some things that I told you when you were younger. I'm bringing back some promises and dreams back into your heart that you had once walked away from and left. He's saying, in this apostolic shift, I am restoring. That means God is bringing back revival to the earth once again and the pouring out of His Spirit before the rapture of the church. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The house of praying in this apostolic shift. Number five, write this down. Because there's a shift that's freeing people from bondage. There's a shift that's changing the character and the condition of people's hearts. There's a shift that's putting people back into rank and authority where they need to be. There are masses of people who once knew Jesus who have wandered away from Him that He is calling back into the kingdom of God once again in reformation. Now watch, this is powerful. Number five, He is establishing a house of praying. He is bringing back the altar as the center of worship and intercession. The pulpit has overtaken that place. A nice little God bless me message has taken the place. A nice little 3 points and we're out of here has taken the place of the altar. And God is shifting His church back to the altar. Back to the place of prayer. And then when the Word of God comes forth from the pulpit, it has already been bathed in the power of prayer and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So the Word of God can be preached as God is speaking, as God is saying, thus says the Lord. My spirit is so stirred up because God is loosing anointing and revival in this land. The altar is where believers stand in the gap before God in the land. He said in Ezekiel, I sought for a man to stand in the gap, but I found none. On behalf of the land, I found no one. See, Israel had been away from God. Listen, America has been away from God. And in the middle of their dross, he said they had become dross. They were like scraps of residue from the refining. Instead of the furnace of the fire of God that was refining silver and gold. Listen, what's happening at the altar is a fresh refining of the Spirit of God in our lives, so that as He scrapes off the garbage off of our lives, what is left is the true, pure anointing of the Spirit of God and His character and His nature. No more self and rebellion. Write this down. Number six, the house of praying that he is establishing prophetically is a place where deliverance and salvation are found. Deliverance has to do with being set free from evil. Salvation is the sozo. It's the save, the rescue. It's the deliverance, the liberating. It's the healing power of God. Because see, at the altar in this place of praying, when deliverance comes, there's a perpetuation of Pentecost that takes place. There's a moving of Pentecost once again, where He's pouring out His Spirit on all flesh, a last day anointing. Write this one down, number seven, just a couple of more. Listen to this. The temple, or rather the house of praying, is now revealing the body of Christ. In other words, who really belongs to Jesus? Did you know in this world the Bible says there are sheep and there are goats? There are some that look like they belong to the kingdom of God, but they don't belong to the kingdom of God. And He's saying it's time to reveal that. It's time to reveal who really is the true worshipers. In John 4, verse 23, Jesus said, "The hour is coming, and now is, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him." That's the season, folks. We're living in prophetically. Let me give you just, we're about finished. Hang on. The house of praying. The house of praying produces holiness. Holiness has become a foreign character to people in the world, even the church. Holiness has become foreign to us. Purity, we don't understand anymore because we haven't let God take our impurities and fill us with the character of holiness. There is a supernatural shift bringing a revival of holiness. There are believers, you found this in your life as I have in this season, that God is dealing with things in our lives that we don't need. Saying, shake that off, you don't need that. You're in shelter now and you don't need that. I mean, there's a lot of things that have been taken away from us in the natural. But I want you to understand something. You don't need it. What you need is to return to holiness. God is calling back a pure church because He's coming for a church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. He's coming for those who will cry out to Him and serve Him. 2 Corinthians 7:1, "Therefore, having these precious, beloved promises, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord." It takes repentance. It takes forgiveness. It takes a turning from and a turning to. Number nine, He's establishing a house of praying by rebuilding the tabernacle of David. What do you mean, Pastor? Rebuilding the tabernacle of David. The tabernacle of David was a place of worship, a place of praying. It was a place of approaching the throne of the living God. When Jesus came into Jerusalem and went right to the temple, the first thing He was going to establish was this, that He was going to the cross to break the power of sin and religion, or man's search for God, or man's self-imposed religious activity. And He was going there to break it and destroy it and to reestablish the fact that the temple would once again be a place of worship where the glory of God would come and manifest in the Holy of Holies. That's what He's doing in your life right now. Right now. He is reestablishing the temple, the tabernacle of David. You can read about that in Acts chapter 15, verse 15 through 18. In the New Testament church, following the days of Pentecost, Paul and the apostles got up and said, Hey, there's a return. Pentecost, the Spirit of God, was to return us to the place of worship where everyone would seek His name, where Jew and Gentile alike can call on the name of the Lord and come to know Him. The tenth thing I want you to see in closing this morning is this, that in this establishing prophetically a house of praying, it would be the place for the impartation of the glory of God. Your temple, you are the temple of the living God. You are the place of impartation of the glory of the Lord as the glory comes to all who are in the house. Not an entertainment place anymore. Not a place for a soft sell message. Not a place for a feel-good feeling alone. But a deliverance center, a deliverance place where the glory of the Lord is poured out. I want you to understand something, that this house, Freedom Church, although there's just a few of us gathered, but by photograph, there are many of you out here gathered with me and watching my live stream. I want to prophetically declare to you that this house is a praying house. It is a place of impartation of the glory of the Lord. It is an emergency hospital where God is pouring Himself out into the lives of people. Glory here. Glory comes. Glory comes. I want you to know something this morning. God loves you so very much. That's why He has come into your home today.